Holy cow. You rolled 3 17s in a row.
Huh. Yeah, imagine hearing that.
Welcome, everyone, to your Tailored Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging directly into the heart of a Dungeons and Dragons game.
That's right, specifically Curse of Strahd Session 12.
And you sent us this recording because you're really fascinated by how these complex stories get built, through people working together, solving problems.
Collaborative storytelling, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe looking for some insights into like group dynamics or strategy in these really intense moments.
Exactly. And this session 12, it's a big one.
Oh yeah, it's a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
The group of adventurers, the ones you've been following, they basically cornered a major antagonist. We're talking Strahd von
The
Zarevich,
big guy himself.
deep within a crypt,
Yeah.
yes. So we're going to dissect the crucial moments here. Their strategies, the unexpected stuff that happened, and well, how it all turned out.
Right. So our mission for this deep dive, we're pulling out the key events, those big decisions, and the moments that made us go, whoa.
Yep.
Pretty much. We want to give you a clear picture of this critical point in their adventure, without you needing to listen to the whole, hours long recording yourself.
Okay, let's set the scene. What was happening right before this big showdown in session 12? How did they even end up in this crypt?
Well, leading up to session 12, they'd already been through quite a bit. They defeated someone called Mad Dog. They ran into Strahd's brides.
The brides, right?
There was something about Grandma dealing with a coffin. Kind of mysterious.
Grandma always seems to be in the middle of things.
Seems like it. They also found the tombs of Strahd's parents and Sergei. And importantly, one of them, Eski, had just gotten some really powerful armor.
Okay, so they're geared up, maybe a little beat up, and deep in enemy territory.
Definitely. Tensions were high, and they were clearly getting closer to Strahd's inner sanctum.
So where exactly did this confrontation, the Session 12 fight, kick off? What did the place look like?
It started in Sergei's tomb. The description was a room with a stone slab for Sergei and three alcoves. Each alcove had a polished statue.
Polished statues. Anything special about them?
Well, the central one was Sergei, with two angels beside him. And the key thing noted was how well kept they were, like super polished.
Okay, so significant spot, maybe even sacred. What were the players actually doing when session 12 started? Were they expecting Strahd to just pop out?
Not right away, it seems.
Hmm.
One player started investigating those angel statues, looking for inscriptions, secret doors, you know the drill.
Standard D&D procedure. Find anything.
And this is where it got weird. They rolled investigation checks and apparently rolled the same number three times in a row. A 17, I think.
3 17s. Seriously.
Yeah, the dungeon master even called out how unlikely that was, but they found nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just really smooth statues.
Huh. So maybe there were just statues. That's almost more unnerving.
Right. It kind of forces them to rethink instead of just finding the hidden switch. Like maybe there's nothing to find there.
So bad dice luck, or maybe a red herring. Did they feel like danger was coming? Any talk of resting?
They did, yeah. Briefly talked about a short rest, catch their breath, but decided against it. Maybe didn't feel hurt enough to risk the time.
Makes sense. Don't want to get caught napping.
Exactly. Though one character used a second wind ability, just a quick hit point boost.
Okay. And you mentioned fog earlier.
Yeah, that was a constant thing in the catacombs. Fog clinging to the floor definitely adds to the atmosphere, Harder to see things coming.
Fog in a crypt.
Yeah, that's classic. Okay, so no rest, weird statues, spooky fog. How did Strahd finally show up? I'm guessing it wasn't subtle.
No, not subtle at all. Suddenly, this swirling mist just appears, southeast corner of the room, maybe 65 feet away from some of them.
Okay, here we go.
The mist whirls, then poof, Strahd is standing there, and he is immediately yelling about them defiling the tombs. The DM apparently described him as fucking pissed.
Right. Message received. So player's reaction. Panic. Talking.
Fighting.
First thing.
Yeah.
Initiative. Everyone rolls to see who goes when in the fight.
Combat time.
Pretty much. One player did try to shout, like, Strad's here, alert the others.
Okay, initiative rolled. Adrenaline pumping. What were the first moves in the fight itself? Did they have a plan B for this?
Seemed more like reacting to the chaos. One player moved towards a door, maybe thinking escape route, maybe just a better spot to fight
Like
from.
tactical retreat or repositioning, yeah.
Another player readied their short bow, getting ready to shoot if Strahd stepped closer.
Okay, cautious start. Smart, given who they're facing. But Strahd, he didn't wait around, did he? What was his first move?
Nope, he didn't waste a second. Starts casting a spell immediately, and it gets identified as Fireball.
handle that.
Well, everyone had to make a dexterity saving throw. You know, try to dodge the worst of it.
A reflex check, yeah.
Success was mixed. Some took the full blast, but one player, Jonas, he had protection from evil active, so he only took half damage. Lucky break.
Always good to have protection magic up your sleeve. Okay, so they just got blasted. They must have hit back, right? What was the immediate response?
Oh, absolutely. People started moving, attacking. One used a guiding bolt spell. Deals damage, but also gives the next attack advantage. Helpful.
Nice teamwork setup.
Another player threw a firebolt cantrip at him. But they sounded a bit skeptical, like they suspected it might just be an illusion of Strahd.
Right, because Strahd loves his illusions. You never quite know if you're hitting the real deal. So ranged attacks are flying. Did anyone try to close the distance, get in his face?
Yes, and that's when things get pretty dynamic. A character named Mark, controlled by someone, used his whole action to dash. Moved way faster, right towards Strahd.
Gold move.
At the same time, Jonas, the rogue who took half damage from the fireball, tried a sneak attack. Big damage potential there, but he missed.
Ah, brutal. A missed sneak attack hurts, especially against Strahd. How did Strahd react to someone charging him and someone else trying to shank him?
This is where Strahd showed his power. He dropped whatever illusion he was using, revealed his true vampire form. Looked terrifying, I bet.
Full vampire mode, okay.
And then he just turns and attacks Jonas. Unarmed strike. But it dealt a lot of necrotic damage, you know, life-draining stuff. Sounds like Jonas got hit hard.
Yikes. That's a serious counterpunch. Did that scare the party off, or did they press the attack?
No, they kept coming. Radon, the paladin, charged in next, used a smite attack, channeling divine energy for extra damage.
Paladins versus vampires, a classic matchup. Did it work?
It hit, but it sounds like some of the damage got absorbed somehow. Strahd's tough. And then Strahd used a legendary action.
Ah, the boss moves. What did he do?
He used it to just move away. Without letting Radon get that free swing, that opportunity attack. A quick tactical reposition.
Smart. Keep moving. Don't get pinned down. What about the others? Grandma. The ranged attackers.
Grandma tried a perception check. See if anything else was hiding in that fog. Found nothing, though.
Okay. Just Strahd for now.
Meanwhile, yeah, the others kept moving, trying to get good angles, shooting spells, arrows, trying to support Radon and Mark, who were up close.
So a real combined arms effort. Trying to overwhelm him from all sides. But Jonas took a big hit. How did they deal with healing?
Right, Jonas needed help. He used his bonus action, that quicker action, to shift position slightly, then used his main action to drink a potion of greater healing.
Good call. Gotta stay on your feet. So while Jonas is chugging a potion, what's Strahd up to? Is he pressing his advantage?
He kept maneuvering. Used another legendary action, plus his regular move, to really put some distance between him and the party again. Hit and run.
Keeping them chasing him.
And as he moved away, he lobbed another fireball back at them. Damage dealer, even while retreating.
Man, he's really controlling the battlefield, isn't he? Did the party just let him kite them like that?
No way. They were determined. Several players used their whole turn, their dash action, just to close the distance again, keep the pressure on.
Full speed ahead.
They kept firing ranged attacks as they moved. And at one point, his illusion seemed to flicker, like maybe the constant attacks were starting to affect it.
A crack in the facade.
Yeah. And it was mentioned around here, too, that their cleric wasn't there for this session, which was a shame because apparently the cleric had items that would be really good against Strahd.
Oh, that's a tough break. Missing your anti-vampire specialist for the big vampire fight. Not ideal.
Definitely not ideal. A strategic disadvantage for sure.
So, despite missing the cleric, were they able to corner him at all? Force him into a bad spot?
They did manage to get into positions where it looked like they could intercept him if he moved certain ways. Several players even readied actions.
Readying actions, like setting an ambush.
Exactly. Holding their attack until he does something specific, like moves into range, waiting for him to make a mistake.
Okay. Trap is set. Did the master vampire walk into it?
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Despite all his retreating earlier, he actually moved back towards the party to attack someone in melee.
Wait, really? After all that effort to get away? Why?
Maybe he felt confident. Maybe saw an opening. Hard to say. But it triggered an opportunity attack from a player who had a reach weapon.
Ah, because he moved out of their extended reach. Nice. Free hit.
Exactly. And then Strahd used a chill touch spell on someone. Nasty necrotic damage. Plus it stops healing for a round.
So a bit of a gamble from Strahd, maybe didn't pay off perfectly. And then was this when the big holy artifact came out?
This was the moment. Radon, the paladin, pulls out the holy symbol of Ravenkind. Big deal artifact against vampires. He uses it to cast Hold Vampire.
Hold Vampire. Does exactly what it says on the tin, I assume.
Pretty much. Forces Strahd to make a wisdom saving throw or be paralyzed. He actually failed the save.
Yes. Got him.
Butte.
Right.
And he used a legendary resistance.
The boss cheat codes, limited uses. Right.
Basically says, nope, I succeed anyway. So he wasn't held. But Radon wasn't done. He then cast Fly on himself.
Taking the fight to the air.
It's like it. And Strahd used another legendary action to move away again.
Yeah.
Clearly did not want to be held or face a flying paladin.
He is slippery. Burning through those legendary resistances and actions, though, Radon must have been getting on his nerves.
Absolutely. So Radon tries Hold Vampire again on his next turn.
Persistent. How many resistances does Strahd have left?
That was his last one. He used his final legendary resistance to succeed the save. But doing so apparently made him susceptible to being baned.
Baned? What's that do?
It's a debuff. Gives penalties to his attack rolls and saving throws, makes him less likely to hit them and more likely to fail against their spells. A big disadvantage.
Okay, so even though Hold Vampire didn't stick, Radon still managed to weaken him significantly.
Nice.
And while all this serious spellcasting is happening, Grandma decides it's time for some psychological warfare.
Oh no, not Grandma's psychological warfare again. What did she do this time in the middle of a Strahd fight?
She apparently produced an old wooden spoon.
A wooden spoon? Where did she even get that? Your guess is as good as mine. And she starts taunting Strahd with it, making references to, and I quote, changing his diapers.
She did not. To Strahd von Zarovich. That's incredible. Bold doesn't even cover it.
Right. Trying to get under the ancient vampire lord's skin with baby talk and a spoon. You can't make this stuff up.
Only in D&D. Okay, so while Grandma's providing
that
distraction, what were the others doing? Taking advantage of the bane?
For sure. One player used an ability, Zealous Presence, I think. It gave the whole party advantage on attacks and saves for a bit. Big boost.
Perfect timing.
So now Strahd's bane, the party's boosted. They just started laying into him, focused fire.
Pouring on the damage. Could Strahd even fight back effectively?
He tried. He used his very last legendary action for one more unarmed strike. Still dangerous, but definitely weakened.
Okay, this sounds like the end game for Strahd. Legendary action's gone, resistance is gone, he's baned. The party must be feeling it.
Yeah, the tide had definitely turned. They kept up the assault. Someone used Booming Blade, that spell that punishes movement with thunder damage. Another used Action Surge for extra attacks.
Pulling out all the stops.
Strahd knew he was in trouble. He used Misty Step, that short teleport spell, to try and get away again. Create some space.
Desperate move. Did it work?
Bought him a second, maybe. But is Mark, another character, managed to land multiple hits on him anyway? Closing in.
Okay, the pressure is immense. This must be where it happens, right? The final blow.
Pretty much. Jonas, the rogue again,
used
his cunning action to move into position, took another shot with his bow.
Did he hit this time?
He hit, and apparently it was a big hit. Enough damage to take Strahd down to 0 hit points.
They did it. They actually downed Strahd.
Seemed like it. But what happens when a vampire hits 0 HP?
Oh, right. He doesn't just die, does he?
Nope. Classic vampire escape clause. He transformed into a cloud of mist.
The mist form, of course. Where did he go?
Started retreating fast, heading towards his coffin. Presumably to regenerate back to full strength.
Can't let that happen. Not after all that. Did they chase the mist?
Oh, they did more than chase it, Grandma. Remember that wooden spoon?
Don't tell me.
She got to the coffin, found Strahd reforming inside, and staked him with the wooden spoon.
And no. She staked Strahd von Zarovich with the spoon she taunted him with.
That is simultaneously the most humiliating and awesome defeat I've ever heard of.
Right. Absolutely legendary moment in that campaign, I guarantee it. Just, wow.
So, okay. He's staked in his coffin with a spoon. Is that the end of Strahd? For good.
Well, it stopped the regeneration, but then the party had a big discussion. Like, what do we do now? He's helpless, but maybe not permanently gone.
Options. Options. Destroy the coffin. Keep him staked forever.
They even talked about using a wish spell.
Whoa. Okay. The ultimate magic. What were they thinking of wishing for, turning him human?
That was one idea. Yeah. Especially thinking about, you know, all the dark deals he made to become what he was. Could they undo it? A wish is powerful enough, but always risky, right? Unintended consequences.
Exactly. It's the biggest gun in the D&D magic arsenal. Reality altering stuff.
So who had the wish? And what did they finally decide? This is huge for the end of session 12.
It was Grandma, believe it or not, who had access to a wish. And her wish. It was incredibly ambitious.
More ambitious than staking him with a spoon.
Way more. She wished to return the entire land of Barovia and everyone in it back to the material plane where it originally came from.
Lift the entire curse, free the whole realm.
And on top of that, nullify all of Strahd's dark pacts and powers. Basically, undo everything that made Barovia, Barovia, and Strahd, Strahd.
That is a monumental wish. What happened when she cast it? Did reality just break?
The description sounds intense. The whole castle started shaking violently. A brilliant, blinding light filled the crypt, and the air just felt different, charged, like the world had shifted.
Like plane shift. Wow.
And it worked, apparently. Strahd reverted to his original human form. His vampire powers, his connection to the dark entities, all gone.
Just a man again, after centuries.
Just a man. And then in another surprising twist, the party actually removed the wooden stake.
It's a wooden stake.
And healed him. Showed some mercy, I guess.
Incredible. So Barovia's back on the normal map. Strahd is human. What's next for everyone after Session 12 basically ended the main conflict?
Well, Barovia reappeared somewhere on the material plane. Geography might be a bit shuffled, who knows. And Strahd. He's mortal now with a very dark past to reckon with. And apparently, Grandma wasn't quite done punishing him, even if he was human.
I can only imagine what Grandma's punishments involve.
Me neither. As for the party, the adventurers, they started thinking about their futures. Some talked about setting up shop in the new Barovia, like a monster hunter lodge.
Bringing their skills to the now freed land.
Others were considering finally retiring after, well, after that. And some were ready for the next adventure, wherever it might be.
What an absolutely wild ride. Session 12 sounds like it covered everything from desperate combat to reality-bending magic and kitchen utensils.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's such a fantastic example of that high-stakes, collaborative storytelling you were interested in.
Yeah, you see the strategy in the combat, the resource management, using those legendary resistances, the healing potions, the spell slots.
And how player choices just completely shape the narrative.
Yeah.
Both the tactical choices in the fight and the big role-playing choices like Grandma's Taunts or the Final Wish spell.
It really shows that balance, doesn't it, between the game mechanics, the dice rolls, and the story everyone is building together.
Absolutely. And so many memorable moments came out of just this one session.
Totally. Those weirdly consistent dice rolls at the start, Strahd's explosive entrance, the crazy back-and-forth tactics.
Grandma's spoon. Can't forget the spoon.
Never forget the spoon. And then capping it all off with that incredibly bold wish spell, it just weaves together into something so complex and will cool.
It really makes you think, too, about how their understanding of the game, their characters' powers, really drove their decisions. Like Radon, knowing exactly when to use Hold Vampire, even if it didn't stick the first time.
And you do wonder, what if the cleric had been there? Would it have gone differently? Would Strahd have gone down faster? Or maybe something else would have happened.
Exactly. And the fallout from that wish, bringing Barovia back, making Strahd mortal, the long-term consequences are just massive. So much story potential still there.
For sure. It really leaves you thinking. So for our listener, what parts of this deep dive into Session 12 really grabbed you?
Yeah, are you more curious now about the Curse of Strahd setting itself? Or maybe D&D in general?
Or maybe you're just pondering the ethics of using something as powerful as a wish spell. Or the strategic use of kitchenware in combat.
Let us know your thoughts, any questions you have.
Yeah.
Because this dive into Session 12, it really feels like just scratching the surface of a very rich story.